Happy holidays, everybody. Angela Bowen here, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. And if you may know, the last couple podcast episodes I've uploaded have been Christmas themed. I know you're all probably wondering, where are the Wonder Years Christmas episodes? Because I know they're out there. And I just want to reassure you, they are coming. I'm saving them, savoring them for the week of Christmas, the 17th. That week, the week of the 17th, that's when I'm releasing them. So that way we can have it right up till Christmas time. But today I am going to do a fun little commentary of Alvin and the Chipmunks, a Chipmunk Christmas. This is a DVD. It's got three classic episodes. I'm only doing one, which is my favorite, entitled Merry Christmas, Mr. Carol. And this episode came out December 16th, 1989. It's a little 30-minute episode. So, let me read the description. Swept up in a holiday mood, this description is courtesy of IMDb. Alvin gives away his cherished... Wait, that's not it. That's the first one. That's not the one that I'm doing. Okay, here we go. Alvin has to do a report on the true meaning of Christmas by Christmas Eve. Upset, Alvin carelessly speeds away on his bike, causing Simon and Theodore to spin out of control. Alvin runs over Mr. Carroll's flowers, causing Mr. Carroll to yell at him. Alvin responds by calling him a grouch. Alvin writes a huge list of what he wants for Christmas, blah, 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 blah. This basically seems to tell you the whole damn episode. And so, basically, Alvin's got a paper out. He's got to deliver it. Mr. Carroll, his mean old neighbor, lives, breathes, dies by that newspaper, getting it every day at 5 o'clock or whatever time it's supposed to be there. So that is his whole world because the internet has not been invented yet. He doesn't own a TV or a computer. So that's his news. That's his best friend aside from his cat named Ebenezer. So let's jump right into this episode. So we start the episode, and it's just outside of school. The kids are all getting out of school at the moment. And I'm guessing, is this elementary or is this junior high? Because these kids look like they're 10 years old. Maybe 12. And Alvin's already bitching as soon as he gets out the door about, I can't believe the teacher gave us homework over the damn holidays. And Simon's like, well, you had 3 weeks. Was it 3 weeks? Yeah, he's like, well, the teacher gave us the assignment 3 weeks ago, Alvin. Okay, that's not her fault because you decided to procrastinate at the last minute. So the kids are all going to their bikes and everything, and Alvin is just being a big butt. What a complainer. So Alvin's going on as they're riding their bikes home about he's going to make a big old list of everything he wants for Christmas. Now we get a shot of Mr. Carroll watering his garden. He's kind of pruning his garden, his little corner itty bitty baby garden there. And his little cat Ebenezer is just kind of watching, hanging out with him while he's pruning his garden. Flowers. Are they flowers? Yeah, they're like a really big blue tulip, and it looks like a giant rose and a couple yellow flowers. These flowers look three times or more the size of what they're actually supposed to be, so I'm guessing, is he using miracle growth on them? Because they look mutant-sized, like in the sequel to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Not that new shit they got out, but I'm talking about the ones that came out in like 1990 and stuff. You know, those big dandelions that were, had gotten that ooze put on them, so they're really, really big. Yeah, these flowers look like that. So, yeah. Oh my god, he's naming his flowers. This man needs to get out more. Like, There's gotta be a senior center somewhere. Get this man involved in activities, meeting other people. I don't know if he's ever been married before. Maybe he lost his wife. He's lonely. He's talking to his cat. His cat, Ebenezer, looks really, really thin, but he looks like half the size of a wolfhound dog. Oh my god. But he's gonna, he wants to name the flowers Buster and Bob. Yeah, Buster and Bob. And the cat's looking at him, are you, like, are you serious? You're gonna name these flowers. Okay. So then, Mr. Carroll kind of looks at Ebenezer's cat like, oh, you know what, you're right, Ebenezer. I guess naming flowers is kind of silly. But he's like, oh, I thought it would make it a little less lonely around here. I'm like, sir, you have a cat that loves you. I don't think you can get any lonelier than, I mean, if you didn't have a cat, you would be very lonely. But you have your cat, so come on now. So Alvin comes along, speeding on his bike on the sidewalk, and he runs through Mr. Carroll's garden, splattering him with mud on his sweater, and just tearing up his flowers. I'm like, sir, why do you have your little garden right next to the sidewalk? That is your first problem. Granted, Alvin should have stayed on the damn sidewalk. Why he didn't, he was such in a hurry to get home, to write his damn list. It's like, how soon is Christmas that you are just now writing this damn list? You should have gotten that out a lot sooner. And I'm sure your grandparents or whoever have already gotten you gifts. So Alvin complains that Mr. Carroll is a grouch. He's got no Christmas spirit. And he's like, speaking of old guys, I should send a copy of my Christmas list to Uncle Greg. I thought Dave Seville was an only child. So he's got an Uncle Greg? Or this is gonna be Dave's Uncle Greg then, because he said old guys. So, yeah. So Alvin just gets home, and then Simon and Theodore pull up shortly after. Oh my gosh, it took them forever to get home. But then again, he did crash into them, causing them to tailspin in a circle, so they were out of sorts. So Simon's like, hey, what are you going to get Dave for Christmas? And that's when Alvin pulls out a glossy 8x10 autographed picture, and he's like, oh, a picture of me, of course. Why would he want a picture of you? I'm sure he has a house full of pictures of you and your brothers. I spent all my money on myself, and I got to get you a gift, or whoever, with like $5 or $2. So you get some shitty piece of crap gift because you spent all your money on yourself. That is Alvin's thinking right now. So Simon's in the basement, and he's got this really cool contraption set up of, it's a sock sorter, which, I mean, it's cool and all, but you actually have to take the socks and put them on the thing, and it's supposed to sort them for you? Wouldn't it just be easier and quicker if you just sorted them with your hands? I mean, just take it. I mean, what do they call those? The Rube Goldberg things? Those contraptions that people make thinking they're making something easier when in fact it's taking longer to do a simple task that you could easily do quicker with your own hands. So, yeah, he's getting this all set up and making some final adjustments. But Dave is like, hey, Simon, what are you doing in the basement? He's like, yo, you can't come in here, Dave. It's a top secret. I'm working on a project. So he's got three locks. He's got a deadbolt. He's got a chain lock. He's got everything on this door. He really doesn't want people coming into the basement when he's working on stuff. So when he tells Dave, oh, I'm not doing anything, I'm not working on anything, that's when his contraption literally busts apart into pieces. I think it's time you need to give up the ghost. You need to just say, this is not going to work, and come up with something better, Simon. It's a cool idea, but the mechanics of it and just the idea of it, it's, I don't know, something better that Dave could use. I'm sure there's something better. Not to mention, does Dave even do his own laundry? I'm sure they probably have a maid. So now, Dave's going into the kitchen, and that's when Theodore is busy making Christmas cookies, gingerbread men, I think, for Dave. So he runs up to the door as Dave's trying to get through, and he's like, no, you can't come in here! And he's like, what are you doing in there? Oh, nothing! Like, oh, and he's wearing a little apron skirt, Theodore is. He's like, I'm working on nothing. Everybody's working on nothing, apparently. So I guess Dave's going to go visit with Alvin for a bit, because the other boys are occupied doing stuff, or nothing in their case. So Theodore says he's been in the kitchen all morning, and Dave's like, well, what are you baking? And Theodore's like, nothing. Dave's like, it doesn't smell like nothing. And then Theodore whispers to himself, except your Christmas present. So he's making a bunch of cookies for Dave for Christmas. Oh, that's kind of cute. I mean, if you really don't have money, but wait a minute. These guys are singers. They're a group. They should have some money to get gifts. I mean, homemade gifts are cool and everything. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing that says I love you more than a homemade gift. So in the boys' room, we see Alvin quick at work, and he's got a scroll of paper just of every single thing that he wants for Christmas, as he's got a, looks like one of those catalogs, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, that big JCPenney catalog or Toys R Us catalog that would come out that would have all the toys in it. Yeah. So he's going through that, and he's writing down, I want this racer car that's on page something-something of this catalog here. So Dave's calling up the stairs for Alvin, and that's when that scroll of parchment paper rolls out of the room, down the stairs, and it knocks Dave flat on his ass. So, poor guy. He can't get any straight answers out of anybody. Oh, Alvin also wants some video games. Alvin. And that's when Dave comes in here like, what is all this crap? He's holding all this parchment paper. And that's when he says, Alvin, you are late for your paper route. You need to get your butt in gear. People want their damn papers. Really? And then Alvin's like, well, I can't do it now in a little bit. I'm only halfway through my list. And he's like, well, I'll get Simon to do it. And Dave is guiding him out the door of the house with the bag of paper saying, Alvin, this is your paper route. You do it. It's like, Alvin, you took on the responsibility for this damn paper route. I don't see how you guys have the time with your music career, but still. People want their papers or they're going to bitch and complain to your boss, whoever the heck he's supposed to be. So then he's like, oh, if I can get it done, I only got like a certain amount of time before I can get to the post office and mail that letter. You know, a phone call works just as well. So he's going really fast, speeding on his bike, getting all these papers delivered, drops one off that lands on a doorstep and some dog food, lands on someone's roof, and he almost causes a collision, zipping through an intersection as the cars all slam on their brakes. This has gotta be California, being it is December, and this guy is lounging in his outdoor in-ground pool on a floaty with a possible alcoholic beverage, maybe, as Alvin throws a paper that lands. Oh, and it knocks him into the water, that paper. He's throwing it with such force and velocity. I think he hit that poor dog in the doghouse. Oh, now he's going around the cul-de-sac. He's like, all right, there, I'm just about done. So he hits up Mr. Carroll's house, he's busy raking in his yard. And he goes and he throws it. It lands, of course, in this giant bird bath. And Mr. Carroll is pissed. He's like, excuse me, I want my paper. I want a dry copy. Thank you very much. So he's like, what do you want from me, man? So he's like, no, you get me a paper by five, a dry one, I might add, or I will tell your father. His dad does not run the newspaper. You would call the newspaper company that Kevin, that Alvin, oh my gosh, that Alvin is working for, and complain to them. I've had to complain a few times about our Sunday paper. We only get the Sunday paper. And occasionally it has been quite late. So, that's really frustrating. I mean, I don't live, die, and breathe by my newspaper because they have other ways of getting my news. And honestly, I don't even read the newspaper. That, Jeremy likes to do the crosswords in it and stuff. I more just like to read the ads, the Target and Best Buy ads and stuff like that. So when Alvin goes to take off, because he's like, I'm not getting, I already gave you this paper, even though it's wet, here you go. So Mr. Carroll takes the rake, the handle end of the rake and throws it javelin style, and it lands right in between Alvin's spokes, the spokes of his bike, and it causes him to stop. And he's like, nope, give me the right one. I don't care. I don't care what your excuses are. Just get me a dry paper. So Alvin goes to a trash can that someone just threw out today's paper. And then he gives it to Mr. Carroll only to realize it's 5 o'clock and the post office is closed. I just said that the phones work great. In fact, you could get your list out easier if you just phone it into somebody. Although no one's going to want to sit there with a pen and paper jotting down every damn thing you want. Because, like, you know, Alvin, I already got your gifts. You save that list for next year or your birthday, and then we can go from there. So Alvin's at home on the couch pissing and moaning because Grandpa and Grandma Seville are two of his biggest Christmas suppliers. When he says suppliers, that makes you think drug pushers or something. Oh my gosh. But Alvin, seriously, it's not all about the damn gifts. This boy does not know jack diddly about the meaning of Christmas. He's all like, Mr. Carroll needs to learn about the true meaning of Christmas because he's a grump. Well, Alvin, you're not much better. So it turns out that actually Dave and the boys Theodore and Simon are all decorating the tree while Alvin is moping on the couch. As Alvin says, you know what, Alvin, there is more to Christmas than just presents. Dave and Simon and Theodore tell Alvin, it's like, you know, Christmas is a time of sharing and being together with family and giving to others. So Alvin, not satisfied, he just goes upstairs to pout in his bed. As he's sitting there, he's like, oh shoot, my essay on the meaning of Christmas is due on December 24th, Christmas Eve. Nobody is going to be at school to get that essay, Alvin. Your teacher is a nut. She should have just said, all right, have it on my desk when you get back to school in January. So it's 9 o'clock, and he's working on his essay for The True Meaning of Christmas, and at 10:30 on the clock that's sitting, the alarm clock that's sitting on the desk right there by him, he's got a crap ton of pile of paper that is all no good. So he ends up falling asleep, and then oh my gosh, his desk at 11:50 is so piled with paper it's taller than he is. So he tries writing again, saying Mr. Carroll doesn't know the true meaning of Christmas. And this is when we see a really ragged looking old white haired Dave come through the window, and he says he's a spirit of Christmas past. So he takes Alvin with him to this old little cabin in the woods and shows him the first Christmas that he, Simon, and Theodore were with Dave in this little cabin. They didn't have much, but they gave Dave for Christmas a piece of paper and a pencil. And he was able to write a very beautiful song that started their music career. Oh, I think Alvin gave him an eraser. But wouldn't that pencil have an eraser? Well, you probably need an extra one. You never know. That eraser on the pencil isn't going to last very long. So they sing the song, Christmas, Christmas, time is here. Time for joy, time for tears. Or something. The Christmas song, I believe it's called. And I love their little pajamas because they're like really young here. They're like maybe 5. And I love their little footy pajamas. They're so cute. So in this little flashback, they're all decorating the tree, popping popcorn, and having a great fun time as they're singing their Christmas song. So Dave, the ghost of Christmas past, tells Alvin he is going to be visited by another spirit that night. And he is. He is visited by the ghost of Christmas present, Theodore, who's got a big bag of gifts that Alvin wants to open. Like, oh, what's in this bag? And Theodore's like, no, don't open that. No, you can't see what's in there. Oh, it's a vision of Christmas as it is today. And we got Simon and Theodore and Dave. They're all sharing some hot chocolate by the fire. And nobody can really see Alvin. He's just kind of there in the vision. So he runs over all these gifts under the tree. He's like, oh, which one's for me? And more than 50% of them are all for him. So as Alvin is rooting through his gifts underneath the tree, Simon and Theodore are playing a cute little song on the piano. Wow, this is just nuts. Alvin, you are getting more and more selfish by the minute. Now, in the little Christmas sack, he sees the vision of Mr. Carroll at his house holding a Christmas Santa hat, which he puts on Ebenezer's head. Oh, that poor kitty looks really, really, I don't know, he doesn't look out. He looks kind of raggedy. And then Mr. Carroll gives Ebenezer, the cat, his gift, which he opens, and it's a cute little toy mouse. Oh, and they hug. Yeah, that's so sweet. Little kitty's worried about his master. He's like, don't worry about me, Ebenezer. That paper's gonna come, and then we're gonna have tons of fun reading about all the happy, sad news. So he opens the door, and of course, there is no paper. I guess Alvin had something better to do with his time. That paper's come to mean the world to him. And it's not there. Aww, poor guy. He needs to invest in a TV. Or a book. A book! So in this vision, you know, Alvin kind of sees why this paper means so much to Mr. Carroll. And he's like, you know, maybe I've misjudged him, that I just thought he was just a cranky old man that didn't understand the spirit of Christmas. And I had no idea this paper meant everything to him. So Theodore kind of lets Alvin know. He says, you know, that paper and you are the only visitors that he gets every day. So my guess is this poor old man lives with his cat. He's probably a widower, and he has no children. So yeah, that's just sad. I wish there were people out there that could take, I don't know. I just feel bad for Mr. Carroll. He seems misunderstood. So Theodore lets Alvin know, because Alvin's like, you know, I don't want to look in that sack anymore. I don't want to see anything else. I don't want to talk about Christmas. But Theodore says, I'm sorry, but you have one more visitor tonight. The visitor of Christmas future, who will be played by Simon. I love Simon's suit. It is really cool. It's like a space, like, he's got, like, fur-rimmed boots and a fur-rimmed red and white cape. And he's got like a little holly or mistletoe on the end of his hat. It's really cool. So Simon pulls down this little this little screen just in the middle of the room. It almost makes it look like a flat screen TV. So Elwin gets to see what his future is going to be like if he does not change his ways. So Elwin pretty much says, Simon, I have no time. I got to finish this essay. Otherwise, I'm going to flunk English. You're going to flunk English. Are you serious? It's December. You still have 7 months left of that class to go. I mean, come on now. You're not going to fail it. You'll have plenty of opportunities to bring up that grade. One assignment is going to make you flunk a class. I don't think so. Check out the drawings on Theodore's side of the room. He's got a picture, framed picture of a sandwich, and then he's got another framed picture of a chef holding a 3-tier pink cake with a cherry on top. This guy loves his food. Whoopsie. Hold on. So, Simon shows Elwin the vision, and the beginning of it starts like this. Theodore is in the kitchen. He's whipping up something that looks like it's going to be amazingly delicious. And he's got a red chef's hat. I love the color red. And he's got, like, a little mistletoe holly kind of on the side of it. It's really cute. And then, of course, Elwin comes in holding 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 presents in his hands. Oh my gosh. How did none of that stuff fall over? All of his Christmas shopping. But he just chucks them all over. Like, he just throws them in a heap. And they're all for himself, he says. Aw, he made some hot chocolate for Elwin. Way to go, Theodore. What a brother. Yeah, he's like, I hope you're not mad I didn't get you anything. All this stuff's for me. What the hell? So Theodore pretty much just shrugs it off. Like, you know, it's no big deal. What I'm looking forward to is Christmas dinner with everybody. So Elwin gets all the Christmas gifts that he bought for himself in his hands. And Theodore opens the doorway to the living room or dining room because he shows Elwin all this amazing food because he's like, well, Dave's on his way to get Grandpa and Grandma Seville with Simon. So Elwin is like, oh my God, all this food, look at it all. And he runs in there and he shoves, I'm not kidding, a whole loaf into his mouth. I don't even know how that's humanly possible. Or even chipmunky possible. Because he's a chipmunk. So interesting enough, I want to go back for a split second. Let's look at this food here. Because, so he's got a couple loaves of bread. What looks like mashed potatoes. And something else. Some Brussels sprouts. And a pie that's sitting there steaming. Steam is coming off of it. Looks like it could be a cherry pie, possibly. But when Elwin comes out to look at the food, that cherry pie is nowhere to be found. It is gone. But he, like I said, he shoves this entire loaf of bread into his mouth. And he drinks, I'm guessing that's milk. What was that other stuff? It was some white stuff. Is that rice and maybe mashed potatoes, I think? But he's going through every single bowl and just shoving it all into his mouth. He's not even chewing. How is that? How can he do that? And then he eats it all, except for the Brussels sprouts, which he hates. And even Simon's like, damn, Elwin, you are a fucking pig. You ate all our damn food. This was supposed to be our dinner. This was Theodore's gift to the family, and you ate it all. He's like, well, I left Brussels sprouts. And Simon's like, big deal. You hate those anyway. Oh, my God. And, of course, Elwin is as big as a house. He is huge. So Dave opens the door to the house, and we see his parents, who are really, really elderly. How old is Dave supposed to be? He looks like he's probably in his early 30s. So his parents have got to be in their 80s. Because his parents, they look like what my grandparents would look like. I mean, my dad is 64 years old, and he doesn't look like what Mr. Seville looks like. I could be Dave's age at 35, and my dad does not look as old as Dave's parents. So they come in the door, and they are welcomed. They got gifts. They got 1, 2, 3, 4 gifts. So basically one for everybody. And they are shocked at Elvin's size. He is majorly obese. He jumps at them, the grandparents, knocks them down, knocks the gifts out of their hands, and they are injured. And we see Grandpa's on crutches, and Grandma's got a broken arm. And he's going through, oh my, Simon, he's got his head wrapped up in bandages. Dave's got a black eye. What did you do? Elvin. So Elvin is too preoccupied with all the gifts, saying, oh, these are all for me. Yeah, there's some for Theodore, Dave, and Simon. Don't tell me they're all for you unless you just all of a sudden stopped learning how to read. So Elvin is like, hey, Grandma, when did the doctor say you and Grandpa will be all better? You know, from your broken leg and your broken arm and whatnot. And she's like, oh, probably in 3 or 4 months. He's like, that's great, so I'll give you my Christmas list for next year in, like, April or May. Elvin, you are such a butt. Grandpa comes over and says, well, Elvin, doctor says we should be good as new at the end of April. And he's like, well, good, expect my Christmas list for next year, May 1st. So he's like, that way, when you're well, you can start shopping for me. Like, oh my goodness, it's not always about you. Elvin is a little morbidly obese. It is really scary. And how is he even able to jump 4 feet off the ground? That I can't see. But he starts excitedly jumping up and down and just knocking the grandparents off their... It's not good. I mean, the grandparents are sitting on the couch, and Elvin's all excitedly jumping up and down, going, me, 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 and he knocks the grandparents into Dave and Simon. Like, they're already injured enough, and then all of a sudden, Elvin is still jumping up and down, and this is causing the foundation to crack, the walls to crumble. The house is literally caving in on itself because of Elvin. Holy moo. Oh my gosh. And I'm sure Elvin is like looking at this video like, this is completely exaggerated. Come on, I'm not gonna really be like this, am I? And I'm sure Simon's like, well, if you don't change your ways, you probably will be. So you need to rethink how you're living. Or at least how you're thinking. Oh my gosh. Elvin's freaked out. No, I'm not gonna be that way, am I? Yeah, that's how you're gonna be. So, of course, Elvin is like, I'll change. Yep, I'll change. Just like Ebenezer Scrooge from Mickey's Christmas Carol. Or A Christmas Carol. That is the thing. Luckily, he didn't see his grave. That would have freaked him out. What if that had been like that? Like, he saw his own grave. And it was like, oh my gosh, if I don't change my ways, I'm going to die. But this was enough to change him and say, I'll change. Turns out he wakes up from his dream and he's hugging the leg of his desk. So he wakes up and realizes, oh my gosh, it's morning. It's Christmas Eve. So he's like, oh, I gotta finish my essay. So luckily, of course, this dream has given him all sorts of ideas of the true meaning of Christmas. Which is great, because I'm sure he's gonna get an A on this paper. With everything he's had to think about in this dream, is all gonna come out in that pencil. And onto the paper. Yeah, I see palm trees, so yes, it's California. Aw, look, Dave, Simon, and Theodore, they're all building a snowman. Where is he going to put Theodore puts an apple in his, Frosty's hand. Oh, that's really cool. He tells, Elvin rushes out with his piggy bank. And he's got to turn in his essay. That school is going to be closed. There's not going to be anybody there. Everyone else is on vacay. Like you. I mean, maybe he could, like, put it by the door or something and hope it doesn't blow away, maybe. Alvin's going to spread joy and happiness to others. Oh my god. I just saw a shot of Alvin at the store spreading joy and money around, and he's got so many gifts like that are 20 feet tall. All those gifts, and he paid for it with his piggy bank money that he's emptying out onto the counter. But now he's back at home, and he's putting some garland and stuff on the whatchamacallit. Dang it. Why am I not able to think of what that is? The stairwell, the banister, that's what I'm looking at. So, and he's also helping Theodore in the kitchen now, because the counter's a complete mess with dough and cookware and everything. As they're pulling out the Christmas cookies. Oh my gosh, they look so yummy. I want some Christmas cookies. So, and then Elvin's helping Simon with his gift for Dave. He hopefully managed to get that socks order fixed for Dave. Oh, they had to lug it all the way up the stairs. So, Elvin's also putting some stuff in the stockings for Dave, Simon, and Theodore, which it says Theo on a stocking. Oh, he gives a paper to Mr. Carroll. Aw, and it's wrapped with a bow. He's like, hey, Mr. Carroll, come on over to my house. You're going to have dinner with us, okay? So he shakes hands with Dave, Simon, and Theodore. Like, hi, it's nice to meet you all. And Dave's playing on the piano. Ebenezer's on top of the piano, just rocking out, you know, side to side. And then we see Alvin. Aw. He sees Grandpa and Grandma Seville and waves to them from the window. Aww. That's so cute. So he lets them in and they all sit down to an amazing dinner. Ham, turkey, everything. It looks so good. And that's the end of the episode, everybody. I hope you liked it. So I plan to do others. I want to do the two ones on Elf. Also, there's going to be a Christmas episode on Growing Pains. So I'm excited about that one. I had DVR'd that one, so that one will be fun, too, because I loved Growing Pains when I would watch it in reruns. So, yeah. And don't worry, I will be doing the Peanuts Christmas, because I've done the Halloween one and I've done the Thanksgiving one. So, all right, guys. Have a good rest of the week. And I'm going to be busy working on the Wonder Years and the Punky Brewster Christmas podcast, so I can get them out to you. So enjoy this. And also, if it snowed, because it snowed here in Michigan, and this is our first snow, and I've already read that there are accidents out on the highways and expressways and whatnot. So please, guys, if you're going to travel, if you got to get to work, there's no harm in leaving, like, 15 to 20 minutes early just to make sure you get there on time. Or if you can't, guys, there's no harm in being late. You'd rather have you guys be late to your jobs than hurt in an accident, okay? Just please take this to heart and enjoy this podcast. All right. Bye-bye.